Good afternoon. Calling the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect we're a little behind schedule today at 1:54 p.m. Thursday, May 13th. It's not Friday the 13th. Present today, we have Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Keel, and myself, Chair Myers. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Nice to see Representative Shaw joining us. He'll be presenting his bill here in a little bit. Staff for the committee today, we have Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records. Alex Banaschek is our moderator. Of course, Michaela Anderson, my committee aide. And we've got Senator Machicki joining us as well. I got a full schedule on the slate today. We're going to start off hearing House Bill 63, the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board. Then we'll move to Senate Bill 117, the Procurement, Construction, and Contracts. And then we will be hearing and moving out House Bill 34, naming the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Memorial Bridge. So first off, we're going to start off with House Bill 63, Marine Highway Construction Operations Board. I'd like to welcome Kerry Crocker from Representative Stutz's office to the table to go ahead and do an initial presentation on the bill.
Good afternoon. Kerry Crocker for the record, staff to Representative Stutz. I apologize that the speaker can't be here. She's on the floor right now. HB 63 would establish a 9-member Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board with members having the skills and experience of a ferry commission or a business board. The board would have the ability to assess, suggest marine business practices that enhance revenue and reduce costs. Members of the board would be chosen based on experience in personnel management, ship management, construction, repair plans, activities. They'd also have insight on fleet strategy, reliability, and other service objectives. A continuing challenge for Alaska Marine Highway has been the frequent change in policy direction, coupled with the insufficient appreciation of long-term implications of such changes. The lack of clarity in the long-term planning objectives, such as fleet design and vessel deployment strategy, and marine business expertise have also been a hindrance. A marine advisory board was established under Alaska Statute 1965-110 and formed with capable individuals, but it's not structured effectively to direct the marine highway with its large marine business operations and planning and the current issues it currently faces. Recent agenda suggests the advisory committee has kept community stakeholders informed of AMHS activities and budgets and provided general feedback about AMHS service. Currently, the board is comprised of members from ferry service areas, which brings public transparency and community engagement. However, the system cannot survive with community feedback alone. The members must additionally weigh in on business practices. The AMHS Marine Highway Operations Board, as proposed, would provide professional advice focused on business and financial practices of the ferry system, including fleet planning, maintenance, pricing, service models, and capital asset investments. The board would be comparable to a board of directors, providing business leadership and long-term strategic planning advice for the Commissioner of Transportation. I can walk you through the sectional. That's the will of the committee.
Yes, please.
Section 1 of the bill changes 19 AS 1905030 by adding to the duties of the Department of Transportation, which requires the department to review and respond to recommendations by the Operations Board, and also to report whether or not the Alaska Marine Highway is meeting the performance goals that are established by the board. Section 2 of the bill requires the board to create a comprehensive long-term and short-term plan, provides them with the framework detailing what should be included in those plans, and requires the department to submit both the short-term and long-term plan revisions and updates to the legislature and the governor and make the plans available to the public. Section 3 is a name change, changes the statute from Alaska Marine Highway Advisory Committee, or MTAB, to the Alaska Marine Highway Operations Board. Section 4 of the bill is reenacted to do the following This is kind of the meat of it here, is creates a 9-member board instead of 12, which includes the Deputy Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities, and requires each member to be Alaska resident. Requires one member to be from a recognized union employee from the Alaska Marine Highway System, and that's also appointed by the governor. Requires one member from an Alaska Native organization or tribe, or a representative from Alaska Native organization or tribe, to be appointed by the governor, and requires 6 public members. The 6 public members will have the experience in marine business, procurement practices, marine personnel management, commercial service options, ship maintenance, construction, repair, fleet strategy, reliability, and regulatory compliance. 2 of those members would be appointed by the governor, 2 of those members would be appointed by the Speaker of the House, and 2 of those members would be appointed by the Senate President. Section 5 creates a staggered 6-year terms on the board instead of 3-year terms, with the exception of the deputy commissioner, and that's because he works at the pleasure of the governor. If a vacancy arises, also allows for a new appointment to be made to serve out the remaining of the term. Section 6 exempts the deputy commissioner from being removed, again, because he works at the pleasure of the governor. Section 7 requires the board to provide an orientation about the Alaska Marine Highway System to the newly appointed members, and allows for regional development associations to make recommendations to appointments on the board, but does not require it. Section 8 requires the department to provide information at the request of the board in a timely manner. It's been commented by the current MTAVS board that that's been an issue. Section 9, the board will provide recommendations to the commissioner of the department. It also creates a mechanism for reporting if the recommendations are not followed. It allows for the board to create a task force consisting of non-board members to investigate matters relevant to the board, and requires the board annually to make recommendations regarding preparation of the STIP to the department. Section 10 changes the name of the board to the from the Marine Transportation Advisory Board to the Marine Highway Operations Board. Section 11 amends 44-42050A to require the commissioner of the Department of Transportation to incorporate the comprehensive long-term plan recommended by the board into the long-range plan required under that statute. Section 12 repeals 1965-120B, which is the composition of the board, which is modified throughout the bill. And Section 13, once the bill enacted, directs the terms of the members of the current Marine Highway Transportation Board to expire, and sets the new staggered terms for the new members of the Alaska Marine Highway Board.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Crocker. Do we have questions from the committee at this time? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Crocker, I noticed the bill frequently calls out ships and marine operations. It doesn't explicitly talk about shoreside. But there are a lot of terminals, a lot of shoreside operations. Can you talk to us about the sponsor's intent? There are terms like strategy and reliability, terms like strategic maintenance. Is the intention that the board would stop at the dock, or would it include the full operations, including shoreside reservations, that sort of stuff?
Through the chair, Senator Keel. It is the intention of the sponsor that it would encompass all Marine Highways assets, the terminals, marketing, all aspects of the Marine Highway business, much like a board of directors would, if you will.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, is this just generic comments before this, or what's your plan?
Plan here, this bill, we're doing an initial hearing of public testimony today. We'll bring this bill back before us on Saturday.
I'll hold my comments till then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any question? No?
I got one other.
Okay. Senator Keel.
Did you want to go first?
Senator Machicki?
Yeah. Thank you. We amended the governor's bill when it talked about an Alaskan native to require that that native is from a community served by the Marine Highway System. That doesn't seem to be a part of the bill in the board composition right now. Is there a reason for that? I felt like we felt like it was important that it was actually a frequent user of the system.
Through the chair, President Machicki, I believe it is actually. I didn't cover it in the thing. If I look at the bill itself, the verbiage is one representative of Alaska Native organization or tribe who is currently from a community served by the Alaska Marine Highway System appointed by the governor.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One more question about the monkey wrench, work we did on the governor's bill. one thing this committee did on that bill, Mr. Crocker, was to have the board submit a proposed budget, operating capital budget, ahead of the governor's usual budget prep schedule. And I noticed that that isn't included here. Have you had the opportunity to run that notion by the sponsor? Do you have thoughts on that?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, we believe that is an inherent part of the long-term and short-term plans, and that would inherently happen through the advice the board would give to the commissioner. Like, we don't believe it's possible that they could, craft those plans without considering a budget or the budget process.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any further questions from the committee at this time? All right. We'll go ahead and move to public testimony in HB 63. So with that, we'll open public testimony. Anybody in the room wishing to testify? Looking rather sparse per usual. I do have two people online. We'll go ahead and start with Shannon Adamson. If you could identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and provide your testimony, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just making sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Thank you. Hi, my name is Shannon Adamson. I am the Alaska Regional Representative for Masters, Mates, and Pilots. We represent the licensed deck officers with the Marine Highway System. I sailed with AMHS as a licensed deck officer for 7 years. I also serve on the current Marine Transportation Advisory Board and Southeast Conference's AMHS Reform Steering Committee. So thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on HB 63 regarding the establishment of the Alaska Marine Highway System Operations and Planning Board. MMP continues to stand in support of Speaker Stute's bill to restructure due to a couple of reasons. HB 63 has members that are appointed by more than just the governor to the board, so a larger amount of diversity is on the board as opposed to the current MTAP board, which is just appointed by the governor. We believe this diversity will help level the political playing field and isolate AMHS from some political infighting. HB 63 also creates language that requires DOT to incorporate the board's long and short-term plans, which would help the board with the existing management and create better solutions. As a current member of MTAB, I believe that that particular set is invaluable. MTAB currently makes recommendations that are not followed through with by AMHS management or DOT. We believe that increasing funding to AMHS is not going to produce significant positive changes in service or sustainability until there are changes in AMHS's management structure. And to wrap up, every report that has been written for AMHS in the last 10 years has recommended a change in its management structure. We believe this bill starts that progress, and we look forward to that change. Thank you so much for your time and consideration and for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Adamson. I got a question for you from Senator Schauer, real quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll make it fast. We asked on the previous testimony on the governor's bill about kind of unions and other groups that are involved in this that would support, whether they might support or not, if it was to be moved, both the management structure you mentioned, and perhaps even out of Department of Transportation, as we look at a way to make the ferry system more efficient and better. And I can't remember if you talked to that, you might have. Would your group support or oppose something like that?
I believe our group would support any sort of positive change in AMHS current structure. Our belief is that the current system is not working and any change would be positive change. So we will look forward to whatever that looks like.
Thank you, Ms. Adamson. All right.
Thank you.
Moving on then, we're going to move to Mr. Ben Goldrich. If you could identify yourself and your affiliation for the record and provide your testimony, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben Goldrich. I'm the Alaska representative for the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association. We represent the licensed engineers both on board Alaska Marine Highway vessels and shoreside. I am fully supportive of Shannon Adamson's comments. She is well spoken on the subject. I myself have worked with Marine Highway System, although I have not sailed on the Marine Highway System. I've worked closely with the system for 18 years plus. I was also appointed to Governor Dunleavy's AMHS Reshaping Work Group, chaired by Admiral Tom Barrett, and worked on the recommendations along with Speaker Stutz and Senator Bert Stedman. One of the recommendations of the work group was a change in the management structure, and we believe this is a step in the right direction, and it's a step the MEBA supports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goldrich.
Same question.
Yep. Senator Schauer?
Thank you. And if you heard the question I asked Shannon at the end, would your group support or oppose? I can restate it if you need me to. That was for Ben, if you're still there.
Mr. Goldrich, are you still there?
Shannon's comments.
I'm sorry, we cut you off. Can you say that again, please?
We would support that as well. Would that come up?
Thank you very much. All right. With that, that's the last I see on board for public testimony. Nobody else in the room, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony in HB 63. Do we have any further questions from the committee before we set this bill aside? Not currently. All right. So the plan is we're going to set this bill aside. We will be taking it up again this Saturday, and then we will have an amendment deadline for it tomorrow at 5 p.m. All right. Okay. With that, thank you, Mr. Crocker.
Thank you.
And we're going to go ahead and set that aside, and we'll get started on hearing Senate Bill 117. I'd like to welcome Andy Mills from the Department of Transportation to the table to present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Andy Mills, for the record. I am a special assistant to the commissioner at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and newly minted ledge liaison with Mike Lesman retiring. Thank you again for the opportunity to present to you Senate Bill 117. The legislation that is before you today is in response to the department wanting to work with the contracting community in the state of Alaska. Senate Bill 117 seeks to amend Alaska Statute 3630, the state's procurement code, by codifying the department's current use of the CMGC, or Construction Manager General Contractor Construction Contracting Method. The CMGC contracting method provides a two-phase contract in which the same contractor can provide the construction-related services during both the pre-construction and the construction phases of the project. Although this procurement method is not an option under current competitive sealed bidding and competitive sealed proposal state procurement law, the department has been successfully using CMGC for 15 years in Alaska. And we've used it on some 20 projects that tend to be on the more complex side. CMGC is recognized by the Federal Highway Administration in their regulations and other state DOTs regulations, and it is also a commonly accepted practice in the construction industry. The department's experience has been that CMGC contracts can decrease contractor change orders, they can decrease administrative delays, and they leverage the department's resources, thus allowing the department and its contractors to more quickly improve Alaska's transportation infrastructure, which, after all, is our mission. Once the CMGC contracting method is adopted into state statute, the department will collaborate with the Associated General Contractors of Alaska and other stakeholders to adopt regulations, policy, and guidance materials, which further refines and standardizes this innovative contracting method for application in the state of Alaska. I will go ahead and leave those comments there. We do have a number of folks from the department and Department of Law, should you have any questions. But to expedite this, I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. We do have one invited testimony as well. Do we have any questions before we go to the invited testimony? Not currently. All right. So with that, we'll go to Ms. Alicia Sira with the Associate General Contractors of Alaska. If you could please identify yourself for the record and provide your testimony.
Hello, my name is Alicia Sierra, and I'm the Executive Director of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. Chair Myers and members of the Senate Transportation Committee, I'm speaking on behalf of AGC's membership in support of Senate Bill 117 and appreciate the opportunity to testify today. AGC supports having CMGC as an additional tool in the toolbox as an alternative project delivery method for DOT. AGC is a statewide construction trade association representing more than 600 members, including contractors, specialty contractors, suppliers, manufacturers in Alaska. Within our membership is much of Alaska's industrial and commercial construction industry. We unite the construction industry to focus on balanced advancement and work to foster and promote constructive legislation, regulation, and standards. CMGC is a common and accepted alternative project delivery method in construction and has been used in Alaska for more than a decade. AGC believes that when used properly and properly used and properly prepared, CMGC can be a great tool. SB 117 will benefit the construction industry and state of Alaska by modifying procurement statutes to codify the CMGC procurement process. It would allow for DOT to use the CMGC process without having to submit an innovative procurement request to the Department of Law and FHWA, FAA for each project. This will modernize, clarify, and improve the state's procurement process and align Alaska with the majority of other states. Passage of this bill will also provide an opportunity for the industry to participate in the development of subsequent regulatory package that would remedy concerns about consistency in the use of CMGC on projects. Passing this bill will give the ability for DOT to add clarity and consistency in the use of this method across all regions, which is a huge priority for the construction industry. In closing, AGC supports this bill, which will simply add another tool to the DOT toolbox, and we encourage you to advance this bill today. It's a win for the construction industry, the DOT, and we look forward to having a seat at the table with our DOT partners as we work together after this bill is passed. The sooner the bill moves forward, the sooner we can get to work. Thank you for hearing and considering AGC's testimony and support today and our request to be involved in the process moving forward.
Thank you, Ms. Sierra. Do we have any questions from the committee this time? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess a question for the department about how broadly you intend for this to be used. It's a pain in the nuisance now. You got to get it through the Department of Law. Your lawyer's got to fine-tooth comb it. But it's my sense that there are a lot of projects that really aren't appropriate for this tool. So how broad will the use be, and what does that look like?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, thank you for that question. Your sense is correct that this is one of the tools, and in fact, I have been informed when researching this that low bid is predominantly what is used by the department for administrative ease, and frankly, given the nature of a lot of the projects that we do, they don't rise to the level of needing CMGC to add efficiency or to get it through the process with the advantages that process brings. What I might do is have someone who has worked on CMGC before. If they are still with us, I have from Department of Transportation Charlie Denninger, who is the Chief Procurement Officer, and he would have actually insight on the spectrum of procurement from the department.
Mr. Derringer, was that it?
Yes, I am. Chair Myers. Through the chair, I may have missed to ask this question, but through the chair, historically, we've been using CMGC for 1 to 3 projects a year. The department, on average, is doing 100 to 130 projects a year. It's our intent that, contracting method will be used for projects that typically that are advantageous for the for CMGC contracting method, and it's our intent to adopt in regulations criteria or conditions or types of projects that it will be required to meet to use this contracting method. It'll require the commissioner's approval, and in that approval process, that is where you know the decision will be made if this if the particular project meets the conditions or criteria for the use of CMGC.
And for the record, that is Charlie Denninger, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Schauer.
Not a question, Mr. Chairman, but a comment. I'll put it in context. We saw this in State Affairs, so I've had a chance to look at this second time. I thought we did vetted it pretty hard, and a lot of time sitting with the administration in the office going over it. I'm very comfortable with this. You even gave a note, I think you said 20, I believe it was, projects that have roughly been this is used on. This is nothing. I always get more nervous when you're not sure because it's not my lane, but we went through it very thoroughly. This is only just one tool, not going to be used that often most of the time. I know Senator Keogh had the same kind of questions that we did initially, and this is just something available to them. I would have of note, the administration has made it clear that if you, because my concern and one of the questions we ask, because the committee may have this question, is what happens to the smaller contractors? How do they get the help, right? Same question. And they were very clear that, number one, they have resources, and all the contractor has to do is call them and ask them for the help, and they can give them everything they need to do this. So it's not, because that was my exact question, what happens to the small ones that don't know about it, don't hear, don't have the resources, smaller companies? And he's like, one, they're probably never going to need to use this primarily, but if they did, the administration has the tools and resources to help them. So the only thing I suggested, Mr. Chairman, is perhaps a small amendment, which we had talked about, that would allow the administration to reach out to that broad group so that they are aware of this as a tool, one, and two, the resources available to those companies so that they can get the help if they need it for this particular thing, even though it's only used generally on bigger, more complex contracts. And outside of that, Mr. Chairman, we didn't see anything else that was an issue, but I think we could make sure that we reach out so that the smaller companies just don't kind of get left in the dust as a tool. That was it. And I just want to put that on the record from the previous committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. Further questions? Senator Keel.
Well, thank you. Senator Schauer spoke to my second one, so I won't. but, well, unless you'd like. No.
I think we're good.
The only other question I had, I noticed in some of the slides online, there's talk about an independent cost estimator, and I think that's an important part of this process. I don't really see it discussed or described in the legislation language. Where can we expect to see that part codified?
Through the chair, Senator Keel, that there are a lot of elements of CMGC that are not in this bill because it is a full procurement process that I understand as we look to promulgate regs after passage of this, whenever that is, that there's an entire manual for some states on this particular process. It's very involved. And again, that speaks to the complexity of the projects that it applies to. So the independent cost estimator is part of that. You won't find that in the actual statutory listing, but I can ask the online either Charlie or Mike Lund, who is our Northern Region contact on the phone. He has used the CMGC process and would be able to tell you where in the process that independent cost estimator would be applied in CMGC, if that helps.
Mr. Chairman, I saw the slides and had a good conversation earlier. I agree it's an important part. I just want to make sure that it gets written in there. That's a critical safeguard for the owner, which would be Alaska.
All right. Thank you, Senator Keel. Any further questions? Nope. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take public testimony. I see one online. Anybody in the room for testifying? We'll bang the gavel first. All right. Open public testimony on SB 117. Seeing nobody in the room wanting to testify, we'll go online. I have Sarah LaFabe. If you could provide your name and affiliation for the record and provide your testimony on SB 117.
Hi, thank you. My name is Sarah LaFave. I'm calling from Fairbanks, where I have lived for 38 years and have worked in the construction industry for 23 years. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today and am calling in support of SB 117. The DOT staff has very clearly laid out the background of CMGC, and I will not repeat their excellent testimony. I also agree with the testimony of Ms. Sierra with AGC. I would instead first like to talk from my experience participating in past CMGC proposals. Each proposal package has been different, as each either has or has not incorporated lessons learned or best practices into the process. From a contractor perspective, the last and by far the largest CMGC package should have represented the best so far. This unfortunately was not the case, and the inconsistencies and flaws within the process will continue to be so until legislation such as this is passed. Other than the steps by which the state of Alaska obtains authority currently to use the CMGC procurement method, there is no defined process in the state for the use of it. It is followed as a procurement concept, but from there it happens only as defined by the particular DOT staff involved. If you compare the CMGC packages from 2012 to present, you will see that they have varied widely, and the sequence of changes to each package does not track as far as developing and implementing clear best practices. Putting CMGC into statute creates a pathway to develop regulation and therefore clear guidelines to define the process and ensure that the best value is truly being described and sought on behalf of the state of Alaska. This is also crucial to the best possible competitive environment. Contractors have to make significant investment when proposing on a CMGC project. The internal cost of those that I have participated in has ranged from $30,000 to $100,000 spent on the part of our company to participate in the process. I want to also briefly comment regarding the small business amendment proposed and comment that that could probably also best be addressed in the regulations. And then in closing, I'd like to say that the timing of this bill is crucial, and this bill should not be delayed to next year. With the incoming federal dollars, state infrastructure spending will be increasing, and there are only so many projects in the hopper. CMGC as a procurement method will provide an opportunity for the state to be able to refill part of the hopper and ensure that Alaska can maximize the opportunities that are being presented by the various federal monies available to us. Once the bill is passed, the regulation writing and public process will likely take about a year, and Alaska needs this tool as soon as possible. The construction industry is prepared to actively participate in the regulation drafting to ensure that Alaska has a sound platform from which to build future CMGC RFPs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Lefebvre. All right, seeing no one else online, we will go ahead and close public testimony on SB 117. With that, are there further questions from the committee on this bill before we move on?
Just a yes, sir.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to work in the end if we can get maybe an idea on that for the kind of those sideboards and the small businesses. If I can work to you, I'd like to just see if that's going to be an acceptable amendment and work on putting in, I guess, Saturday that comes in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if I can just work with you offline as we discussed to put something on for that, it'd be great, and I'll get that drafted and presented to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. No.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. With that, seeing no further questions, we will be bringing this bill or quite possibly the companion, which I understand just passed the House, before us on Saturday, doing amendments then and hopefully passing it out. We will be having amendment deadline of 5 p.m. Tomorrow evening. For this, and then, as I said, bringing this, Senator Machicki.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get this bill passed this year. I don't think we can wait. I don't know how important the amendment is. I don't want to get in the way of that, but I do caution the committee that we are at the end. So, if there is something we want to do amendment-wise, we need to be efficient and make sure it's. I don't think there'll be time for concurrence.
I'll be honest with you. I'll just be over. I think we can do it. We could probably do a conceptual number right now. We talked about it yesterday in the office. If the committee was okay with that, I mean, I think we could probably generate the language. Just thought.
And
Mr. Mills?
Yeah. Through the chair to all speakers. I don't know if an amendment is actually actual statutory language is necessary if the intent of Senator Schauer is to get the word out about this to the small businesses. As my dual hat is also communications and press, that is a good function for the department to, I would commit to doing that exact action, to basically having we're going to initiate a public information campaign to make sure that folks understand the gravity of having this on the books, and of course the regulations, which everyone will be invited to participate in. On top of that, I did actually already speak with Mr. Denninger, the Chief Procurement Officer, to say, how do we currently get the word out, and what can we do to supplement that effort? So minus any amendment specifically to the bill along those lines, I would be more than happy to make the commitment that that is a public information function that I would be performing in part of my duties, and we would absolutely pursue that if this passes. And that would avoid concurrence, of course.
Senator Schaefer.
So all that being said, I was merely working off what the schedule said, which is we were hearing this on Saturday. I'm happy to go in either direction. That's the only reason I was going that path. We don't need to do that because I trust Shandy. We've talked about this and seen it before. So as long as I have this on the record that you have committed to say we're going to make sure that the small businesses are informed, and I know that's the legislative intent, which is officially on the record, I'm totally fine with that. I trust that you're going to do it. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't need to do that. I was just working on a different timeline. That's the only reason. So there was no intent trying to slow it up. If everybody would rather move that now, I'm perfectly happy with that.
I will say that we do have a House bill, which I know already has had some amendments in it, which I said, it just passed the House earlier today. So I guess the only question would be then how we deal with the parliamentary procedure. I don't necessarily object to passing this bill out. I just wonder what that means, since this is the last committee of referral, what that means when the House bill comes over, and then because in order to get the two to match up to get it passed for this year. So, Senator Machicki?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if it leaves this committee, they will meet up in rules, and the House bill, since it came over, would go to the floor, so we'd have an opportunity to review it before it going to the floor. If we were to hold the bill, it would meet up here, but again, I'm just worried about a potential delay. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but I'll leave that to the will of your committee, sir.
All right, thank you. If we don't plan on any amendments, I don't plan on any personally. I am happy moving this bill out. Okay, 1, 2, 3 out of Senator Schaefer. I believe that leaves you,
Mr. Chairman. I can. Oh no, I said I'm good.
Oh, okay then.
So as long as that's what we were operating, that was the whole point of it. Just a different timeline. I could have done it today.
All right,
it doesn't matter.
One moment here. We're going to take quick eddies.
I can read it right.
All righty. Got a little I's dotted and T's crossed there. With that, Senator Schaefer, what is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 117, Work Order 32-Gulf Sierra 15794/Alpha, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 117 moves from committee, and that'll take one thing off the plate for Saturday. Thank you very much. So thank you, Mr. Mills.
Appreciate it.
And all right, and once we get the bill packet down here, we'll sign paperwork in a little bit. With that, finally, last but certainly not least, moving on to House Bill 34 from Representative Shaw. This will be the first time hearing the bill, and we plan to hear from the bill's sponsor and take public testimony and move the bill today. So, Mr. Shaw, if you could put yourself and your staff on the record and go ahead and get started. Oh.
Mr. Chairman, we may have a question for Mr. Mills on this bill. I don't know if he intends to remain in the room or not, but I do have a couple questions on this bill.
Okay, thank you. All right, Representative Shaw, feel free to take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I have permission to remove my mask to speak?
Yes.
I have 6 feet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Representative Laddie Shaw. I represent House District 26, which is South Anchorage. Thank you for taking the time to hear House Bill 34, entitled An Act Naming the Vietnam Veteran Helicopters Memorial Bridge. It's a topic that's very close to my heart as I served two tours in Vietnam, and I'm an associate member of the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association as a certified helicopter pilot and a Vietnam veteran. I should note that this bill was originally the idea of Representative Kathy Tilton, as it is in her district, She very graciously offered for me to introduce it and carry it, knowing my personal connection with the subject, and I really appreciate her graciousness. I would also like to acknowledge the work of this bill done on representative staff, Heath Hilliard, who did the bulk of the legwork on this bill, and his work is greatly appreciated. Lastly, I'd like to express my appreciation to the reception this bill has received so far, particularly that every veteran in the House signed on as co-sponsor at introduction. I'm deeply honored by that. With that, I'd like to tell you about my experience and why I'm so glad to have the opportunity to present this legislation to you. I think you have a photo on your desk. It's dated September 20th, 1970. The individual in the lower right corner is me. That helicopter that's hovering is doing a medical evacuation on three of my teammates. It was a bad day for us, and we ran into some trouble. Two of my teammates did not make it on that helicopter, as they were killed in action. Three were medically evacuated to Da Nang, and they survived because this Huey that you see in this picture could not land on the ground, but was on site within about 7 minutes. One of my teammates, who was also one of my classmates at Buds, was so gravely injured that he had to be on an induced coma for 7 days. The only thing that saved him was he was a radioman carrying a very large radio on his back. That was 1970. I was traveling around the United States in 2007, honoring the gravesites and families of a fellow veteran who lost some soldiers in Iraq. We were driving through Horseheads, New York, on our Harleys, heading to a gravesite, visiting a family. I remembered that my teammate, who was gravely injured in 1970, who I had not seen for 37 years. He was in Horseheads, New York. I remember his name. I inquired. He was a former chief of police. He had recovered from his injuries after 7 years, spent 20 years in the police department. We crossed paths after 37 years, and it was a moment to remember, and we both remembered that day, September 20th, 1970. So this picture, it's not about me. It's about two individuals who literally had their soul saved, one physically and one internally. And this helicopter that you see is the main reason for that. I've been part of a number of things involving veterans over the years as a former director for Veterans Affairs. Mount POW MIA, 2001, we designated that peak. Gold Star Peak, 2017, designated as a BLM point of reference. Both of those peaks look down on this bridge. The value of honoring these helicopter pilots and their crew, for me, the dedication is above and beyond. In the big picture of things of what we do around here, dealing with billions of dollars, this has a very small fiscal note. More than enough people have been willing to pay for this, but we don't have program receipt authority. So we have a fiscal note, and it's a few dollars, but again, relative to $1 billion, I'd like to say that the value is there. With that, I'd like to turn this over to my staff, Josh Walton, to tell you the specifics of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Josh Walton. I'm staff to Representative Laddie Shaw, District 26. Thank you again for the opportunity to present this bill before the committee. And I'd like to thank in particular the chair and his staff for working with us to have it heard quickly. I know time is short in this session. Very briefly, what the bill does is it names bridges numbers 1124 and 1889 that span the Matanuska River both northbound and southbound at mile 30.4 of the Glen Highway and names them the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Memorial Bridge. In the packet that you've been provided, you'll see photos of the bridge. Anyone who travels with any regularity between Anchorage and the Matsu Valley crosses over this bridge. You can't avoid it. I'd also like to, in the packet, just mention we have an academic article highlighting how the Vietnam conflict was the first true helicopter conflict, featuring significant use of helicopters in and out of combat. It's a very interesting article. It really lays it out well. A few other more contemporary articles highlighting the heroism of the Vietnam helicopter pilots and some of the challenges that they have faced being recognized post-conflict. I'd note that the bill has the support of the Alaska chapter of the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association, and I believe that we have Lynn Kyle, the Alaska chapter president, online to give some invited testimony and answer questions. I'd also note that we've received a letter from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs Commissioner Torrance Sachs, offering his department support for this legislation. And I'd also note too, and this was very impactful as well, that when the bill came from the House and was read across on the Senate floor, it immediately picked up 15 sponsors, cross-sponsors, which is also very heartwarming and it's certainly greatly appreciated and says a lot about our state's dedication to supporting our veterans. With that, that's all I have. I thank you again for the opportunity to present the legislation, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Walton. Do we have any quick questions before we go to invited testimony? Nope. All right. With that, we're going to go to Lynn Kyle. If you could please state your name for the record and your association and provide your testimony.
Well, good afternoon, Committee Chair Myers and members of the committee, and thank you for your time. I'm Lynn Kyle, and I'm a Vietnam veteran and the president of the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Chapter of Alaska. We have about 85 strong in pilots and crew members, and according to the national database, there's about 300 more still in Alaska that we're still trying to look for. I'm not sure the number of crew members specifically, but it too is significant. And truly, I thank you for taking up this memorial opportunity. The story you heard today from Representative Shaw is one of the many that was experienced by helicopter crews and pilots. And I can tell you that the medevac, for instance, flew over 500,000 missions, evacuating over 900,000 lives, and had an 82% survival rate. And that alone, as this helicopter evolved, was brought back to our state by the pilots that returned, and has helped us to grow in all aspects of building, maintaining, and implementing our aviation, transportation, and logistics infrastructure. From logistics to medical evacs, we are here, and I'm very pleased and I'm truly touched here in the Senate committee to complete this honor that other committees have seen as a worthy cause. And I'd like to take just a moment to thank the 40 sponsors and co-sponsors of this bill. It has been touching all the way through this process, and I'm truly grateful. A sign on a heavily traveled route in the view of Gold Star Peak, which would be a small token of thanks to those who were so instrumental in building Alaska and are still here today and memorialize those who did not return. These veterans did not see a very honorable return, but now is the time to honor their contribution, sacrifice to the nation, and a state that is worthy of their legacy by the dedication of this small landmark on the Matanuska Bridge in their honor. This is truly a small historic opportunity to remind all those who see this memorial plaque in the future of the trials and tribulations of the Vietnam conflict and honor those who dedicated their skills to our state and our country. I thank you with all my heart. I am honored to answer any questions. Thank you.
Do we have any questions from the committee for Mr. Kyle or for the sponsor?
I don't have questions. I would like to comment.
Senator Schauer?
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to take a moment here with Laddie. I'm just going to use your first name. Thank you for bringing this. You know what I think about your service, and you know it's interesting because, generally speaking, I'm not a fan of spending money we don't have to on bridges and other things, but there's a difference here, and I'll tell you why. And this is what I wanted to speak to. I know some people have made that point that they don't want to philosophically do that, and I agree. I do. But as you and I have discussed before, my father-in-law, who's 85, he served 3 tours in Vietnam as well, a little older than you, a little earlier on. Half of his class, 50%, died in Vietnam. And there's only a few of them left these days. and there's almost no World War II veterans and just a handful of Korean, you know, war veterans, that is, we go through our history. My son in Iraq, to go specific to the family for helicopters, was in an IED with significant injury, and he was airlifted in Iraq from that crater. We are nearly 100% now, if they do not die immediately of their injuries on the scene, with helicopters nearby, of keeping our people alive. And you know so many examples of that now with quadriplegics and all kinds of traumatic brain injury. I know you know Eli Powell, Colonel Powell, back in Anchorage, who was the trauma lead for a year in Iraq in 2007. So why this is different to me is that you have a group of people that, as the previous speaker said, were not treated the same as every other group of veterans. They served their country as honorably, and I would argue in some ways more so, because it wasn't a popular war. Every other group of veterans comes back and gets statues erected to them, and parades, and ticker tape, and flags waving. And instead, the Vietnam, and even today, we've got it right again. We've treated our veterans well with respect. What happened to Vietnam veterans? I can tell you what my father-in-law has told me many times. Spit on. Called a warmonger, a baby killer. This country disrespected the service of those veterans. Sorry. I knew this was going to be tough. I don't think there's more I can say. I'm done. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. We're going to take a real quick at ease here. All right, going back on the record, Senator Keel.
Mr. Chairman, I can't top that, and I would never try. I will thank the sponsor for bringing this bill forward. It has been my privilege to work in civilian jobs under four Vietnam-era veterans, some of them volunteers, some of them drafted into a war they wanted no part of, and three of them saw combat. What I learned about duty, what I learned about hard work from them cannot begin to compare with the comments and the service of the member next to me and the sponsor of the bill. All I can do is say thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicki.
Yeah, Representative Shaw, thanks for bringing this forward. I'm honored to support this bill, and I only waited to co-sponsor it so that my veteran comrades could co-sponsor first. But my experience with some of these individuals, I worked offshore in the platforms of Cook Inlet for a long time, and there was only, well, there are two ways to get there. The preferred way is by a helicopter. And the skills in some of the most adverse conditions, which were nothing like they faced in Vietnam, made it a much more comfortable probability of getting home alive during some very difficult weather conditions. So I can just imagine what they all experienced and you all experienced while serving in Vietnam. So I just, with that, thanks for bringing it forward. I'm happy to support it. We have some questions for the department when we get to that point. But thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. With that, we'll go ahead and move through the public testimony phase. So with that, I'll open public testimony. Seeing nobody in the room to testify, and see no one online to testify as well, so we will close public testimony. And with that, Mr. Mills, I believe we've got a couple of questions for you, if you wouldn't mind taking the table. All right. So, Senator Machicki, I believe this is yours.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mills. So here's the reason for my question. I'm never trying to eliminate a fiscal note. I've been pure in that process. If it has a fiscal note or an indeterminate fiscal note, it goes to finance. That's fine. We've already discussed this with finance. If it does go that way, it will be a very quick turnaround. But my question is about this. There are some bridges in my district. And signs on bridges often get taken out by snowblowers and car accidents, and sometimes just by normal wear and tear. And I'm trying to understand why the replacement of signs that will occur at some point anyway, when we have a bridge that is honoring folks of this stature, why the department feels it necessary. I mean, we have post foundations, we have miscellaneous hardware. There are signs on those bridges today, if I understand correctly. So what about this fiscal note?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, thank you. You actually pose a great scenario that makes it a harder thing to answer. We replace signs that do get knocked down. Those don't always happen immediately, and there are areas where it takes a while to get those back up, and I actually do not know the specific mechanism to replace a sign that would not normally be accounted for. I can say in relation to this particular bill, we have been working with the sponsors. I talked to the sponsor's office about what could be done at this hour to help address a fiscal note referral to finance, and I know OMB has done the same. There were several different options explored, and I think the fundamental philosophical issue for the department on zeroing out a fiscal note, if that was the request, would naturally be the outfall of that when you do other bridges. This is, of course, a worthy endeavor, and if there was individuals writing checks to it, I would be doing it along with them. But if you make one bridge a zero fiscal note, there are probably a lot of people in this building who would love to add bridge names, rename bridges, and with a zero fiscal note, that makes it much more attractive to put more of those out. I did note that there was a, in my previous ledge liaison career at DOA, there is the specialty plate mechanism where I understand that the legislature approves or works through the process of doing a specialty plate, but that is paid by user fee, and that's established how that generally works with the department. A similar concept could be worked out with something like this if more time allowed us to get whatever organization or individual would lead that charge, and we could work on an MOU with them and whatnot. But that that conversation happened quite late, and when I asked my department how can we pursue that, they said with the time frame you're exploring it, we just have never done it in that time frame, and because you have an evaluation, a conversation, even a legal review of an MOU. So the short answer, getting back to heart of it, is the equal treatment down the road.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Michicki?
Yeah, thank you for that. I get it, and I am very interested in, we have not only in this case, but we have many founding fathers and mothers of our state, many great Alaskans, sometimes very special young people that are lost, and I hope that we can work together maybe through this committee to create a method for people to privately donate for things such as this. I think it's very important to people, and I guess that's a future effort, and that's fine. But I appreciate the answer. I think you're very forthright, and I understand the problem, but we do need another system. So, like you said, I bet without leaving this room, we would fund this fiscal note without thinking twice about it with six or seven checks, including the secretary's probably, but I saw a hand raise. So thank you for that. I appreciate the answer.
Senator Sharp.
Thank you. I agree with Senator Michicki on that. Maybe we find a way to get receipt authority if we could do that. That would be fantastic because there's a lot of things we could do. And I have one more thing I'm going to finish because I found it kind of hard, but and I'm just going to speak directly to Representative Shaw. I don't think I've ever mentioned this in the building, and I think it kind of hit me when I was talking about it, so that was unexpected. I didn't think it would go that way, but my biological father and my mother did not get ultimately stay together and get married. My father was a Huey Piatt in Vietnam. Nobody knows that. I've never mentioned it. For all I know, Laddie, he was the guy that day. So for what it's worth, this has more meaning to me than people understand because of the family tie. So I appreciate you letting me finish that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for bringing this bill.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. All right. Seeing no other questions, Senator Schauer, do we have a motion?
do. And I'll get all the way through it, Mr. Chair, I promise. I move House Bill 34. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 34, Work Order 32-LS02654-Alpha with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right. Seeing no objection, the bill passes from committee. With that, we'll, if we could all hang around here for just a couple minutes after adjournment, sign paperwork on the two bills we passed, that would be great. With that, we do have a meeting scheduled this Saturday to take up some finishing work on HB 63. As I said, the amendment deadline for that is going to be tomorrow at 5. With that, it is we have no other business before the committee. That will conclude our meeting for today. Next meeting, Saturday, May 15 at 1:30 p.m., and we are adjourned at 2:55 p.m. Thank you.